You're listening to Eaters.com.
Thereafter, we turn our attention to the main masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, situated in Haram Sharif, and put a masjid which is connected to all of the prophets, Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, including Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, we were covering some verses of Surah Sabah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the names of two great prophets, father and son, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And in Surah Sabah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these two prophets and the honor given to them towards the completion of Masjid al-Aqsa. And so we started off with verse 10, which we completed, verse 11, which we completed, and also verse 12, and we got to the ayat kareema in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this direct command to the family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. اِعْمَلُوا, remain steadfast, Ala Dawud, or family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِعْمَلُوا Ala Dawud shukra, remain steadfast, O family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qaleelun min ibadiya shakur, and there are very few amongst my servants who are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this ayat kareema is specifically directed to the family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. But implicitly, a message is given to the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as an Ummah, we should make sure that we have this very important character. We should have this character of making shukr, to be amongst the shakirin, to show gratitude, and to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. This is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when this ayat kareema was revealed to Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, of course, not as verses of the Quran, because Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam came much before, but this command was given to him. Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam took this matter very seriously. And it is said that Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam had his own musalla, a prayer mat. And he would stand on that musalla for long hours, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah instructed him, when this injunction came forward, that remind all of your family members to be amongst the shakirin, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took his musalla, his prayer mat out, and he invited all of the family members of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. All of his family members, including Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, of course that was the son of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, and he allocated for them a time in the 24 hours so that the musalla, the prayer mat, is never left unoccupied. There was always someone in the 24 hours standing on the musalla of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam doing the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajeeb. And this was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. O family of Dawud alayhi salam, remain firm and steadfast on this amal of shukr. Everyone from the family at one time would stand upon the musalla of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam in the 24 hours, Not a single session will pass by in which the musalla was unoccupied. There's always someone there. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises him. And this is mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the most beloved prayer, salah, tahajjud, is the tahajjud of Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam. The most beloved tahajjud to Allah, the most beloved prayer to Allah, is the prayer of Dawud alayhi salam. And what would he do? He would sleep half the night, then wake up and stand up in worship for one third of the night, and then thereafter again go to sleep for one sixth of the night. So for one half of the night he would sleep, and then for one third of the portion in the night he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter he would sleep. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the most beloved method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, the salah of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fast of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, otherwise also known as Sawme Dawood. Sawme Dawood. Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam for his entire life would fast for one day and miss out. Fast for one day. So for alternate days he would fast. So one day he would be fasting and one day he would miss out. One day fasting, one day he would miss out. For his entire life. And so this was the practice of Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this fast and this salah is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmizi. When this ayat al-Kareema was revealed, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he climbed the pulpits, the minbar, and he gathered all of the companions. And he said to the companions that were there, that if three things are in you, if three acts are inside you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon you the same excellence that Allah bestowed upon the family of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. So they were well known to be from amongst the shakirin, at all times to be thankful to Allah. Nowadays what happens is that unfortunately, when a person finds himself to be in a difficult situation, then naturally he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes everything at ease for him, then generally insan has a tendency to actually forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we must always remind ourselves that in every situation, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in the hadith it comes that even in good moments when a person is thankful to Allah, then at difficult moments when a person lifts up his hands, the malaika actually intercede to on behalf of that individual, and they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, accept this man's dua, he remembers you at all times. Accept his dua because he remembers you at all times. Allahu. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if three of these good acts are found in any one of you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you. Like the family of Dawud alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam himself. And Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam said the first thing, that to spend in moderation, to spend in moderation. And in fact to take everything in moderation at all times, during times of prosperity and also during times of difficulty, adversity, in every situation a person should look at moderation. A person should look at moderation. Allah has blessed me with a lot of wealth. It doesn't mean that you just go out and blow the wealth that Allah has given you. Everything in moderation. Because this is amanah. There is a lot of things that you can do with this. A lot of things. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, to act justly in every situation. To act justly in every situation, be it in times of pleasure or be it in times of displeasure. That a man never loses his composure. That he is just at all times. And remember what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people, that don't come to me wanting to compromise in the verses of the Quran. Wallah, if I had to take an action against my own daughter Bibi Fatima, فَعَاذَهَا اللَّهُ مِنْهَا, I would not think twice but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that to maintain this very high level of justice inside a person. And then finally Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to adopt taqwa in your private life and also in your public life. So you have taqwa at home also and also outside. It's not that at home you don't have taqwa, but outside you have taqwa. Or outside, mashallah, you don't have taqwa, and at home you have taqwa. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, at all times, public and your private life, to be a muttaqeen. That is why a few companions, they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, a lot of the companions have this habit of quoting you and mentioning your name or the hadith in every situation. There is a possibility that at times it might be a private matter for a person. Do you give us permission to talk or to narrate a hadith at all times? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq and his character was such, subhanallah, impeccable, perfection. He said, at any time you have the permission to quote me. At any time you have the permission to quote me. And he said, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only speaks that which is the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these three things are very, very important. Now we talked about Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam, of course. This was again an attribute given to Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam. But you must never forget, especially the month of Rabiul Awwal, mashallah, the month in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. When we look at the halat, the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most remarkable feature of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his enthusiasm towards worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ever ready. In any opportunity given to him, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would want to stand and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was his way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Sahaba ikiram ajma'in would say, and this was said consistently, it's not one off, consistently about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we would notice the auspicious feet of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would swell up. The feet would swell up. And this was because of the long qiyam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Long qiyam. And he would stand in the night in one position without moving. In the medical terminology, this is known as edema. When a person is completely static, standing in one position. This is the khushu' and khudu' of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the feet were always swelled up. And the Sahaba ikiram ajma'in would come and they would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given you so much honor. You are ma'asum. You are ma'asum, infallible. Allah has protected you. A Nabi does not commit sins. No major sins, no minor sins. Allah has protected Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin. And he responded by saying, أَفَلَا أَكُنْ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And Allah has given me so much honor, then should I not stand up in thanking my Lord? Then should I not be thanking my Lord? This was the habit of Hazrat Nabiyyi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a Nabi! May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were a few things that I wanted to mention in Jumu'ah, but of course we didn't get the time, and maybe perhaps Rabiul Awwal, and I can mention this in relation to the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people that were also connected with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them were perfect individuals. The best was selected for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers will recall, I did mention in Jumu'ah how Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was inspired in the early age. Of course, before Nabuwat was given to him, he was the personal friend of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the dream that he saw, which eventually Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that my proof that you asked for is the very dream that you have seen. The very dream that you have seen. Just to look into the family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, a great lady, someone who was most beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she saw a dream which she only mentioned to her father, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She saw a dream that three moons descended from the heavens and they fell into her apartment. Three moons fell into her apartment, her room that was given to her being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what a wife she was, my respected brothers. Subhanallah, what a wife she was. Bibi Khadijatul Kubra was the first wife. When she passed away, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found himself to be in a very difficult situation. It was Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Abu Talib had passed away, and it was the period of drought, a lot of difficulty. Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra passed away, and at that moment Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream. Who saw a dream? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream that Jibreel Amin came to him, and in the dream Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this green silk cloth. This green silk cloth. And remember, a lot of people say that perhaps green was the favorite color of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, there is no hakikat of this really. There is no favorite color of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find many from amongst the Muslims who wear a green amama and a green shawl, and a lot of the things are green, perhaps wishing to mimic the green dome. But as for the favorite color of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not find that in any of the ahadith. But however, this was green silk material that was given as a gift in the dream to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel Amin is saying that, Ya Rasulullah, in this green silk material is an image of a woman who will be your wife in this world and also in the hereafter. In this green material, silk material, is a picture, an image of a woman in the dream, of a woman who will be your wife in this world and also in the hereafter. And so when he opened up this material, silk material, he saw the face of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Jibreel Amin is saying that she will be your wife. And remember, all of the wives were a divine selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not something that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for himself. No, a divine selection. This was from min janibillah. And that is why when he got married to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanallah al-azim, he said to Hazrat Aisha that before I could even see you, Jibreel had shown me your picture, and that you were already in my nikah. that you were already in my nikah. That Allah had selected. And so this woman, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, again, this is a dream that she had seen, that three moons fell from above straight into her apartment. And so she came to her father and she said to her father that I have seen this dream. Oh my dear father, tell me the meaning of it. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at the right time, I will give you the right interpretation. At the right time, I will give you the right meaning of this dream. It is said that much later on, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, and that difficult moment came to the companions, that where would Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where should he be buried? Which area should be his last abode of rest? Where should he be buried? And of course, it was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, who said to the people that I have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that wherever a Nabi was to pass away, that would be the burial location of that Nabi. And so he passed away in the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is resting even today in the room of Hazrat Aisha. And so when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had departed from this dunya, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came and said to Aisha, Aisha, have you forgotten your dream? And she said, no. And he said, this is the first moon that is resting in your apartment. What did he say? That this is the first and the best moon. This is the first and the best moon that is resting in your apartments. And she said, Abbaji, who will be the second and the third? Who will be the second and the third? And the father said, that only time will tell. That only time will tell. And it is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has chosen the best as neighbors for His Nabi. Allah has chosen the best neighbors for His Nabi. Now always say this, my respected brother. And when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away, subhanallah, he was also buried in the same room. And Hazrat Aisha said that this is the second moon. This is my second moon. My husband and my father. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say that out of love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I would actually sleep in that same room. So where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting, and where Siddiq Akbar was resting, she would sleep in that same room. Because that was her room, her chamber. And Allah's Nabi was there, and Hazrat Abu Bakr. And when the Khilafat of the great Umar ibn al-Khattab came, brothers, you know, Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he was attacked by Abu Lu'lu, and he said to his son that go and take permission from Hazrat Aisha, that maybe if she allows me and gives me permission, I would like to also sleep in the same room with my two companions, my Nabi and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave permission. And so when he passed away, the second man to enter the position to be in close proximity to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the taqwa of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says, thereafter I had put a curtain in my room, making it completely half, because Umar ibn al-Khattab is not my mahram, but a ghair mahram. In the beginning it was easy for me to move in my room because it was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. But now that Umar ibn al-Khattab is also resting in my room and that he has passed away, she would maintain hijab in that condition also. What pure lady is Allah. Allah give the tawfiq to our mothers and sisters that are listening at home also. Our mothers and sisters, hijab is a great ni'mah. Hijab is a great ni'mah. Khair, subhanAllah, this was the love that Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een had, and everything in a way obeyed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned, and I just read this a few days ago, subhanAllah, ajeeb waqiya. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by in the desert, one of his travels, and someone greeted him and in a very loud tone said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around to see who it was. There was no one there. And again, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to one side and he noticed that there was a deer. A deer? Animal? A deer that was tied to a pillar. A deer that was tied to a pillar. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got close to that deer, the deer again greeted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted that animal. And the deer said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group of Bedouins were there. And the deer complained and she said that, these Bedouins have captured me, Ya Rasulullah. And I'm in great pain. I'm in great pain. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is your pain? And she said that I have a very young buck. I have a young buck that I need to feed and it's waiting for me in the mountain. That the Bedouins have captured me and my young buck is waiting for me in the mountains. And as a mother, my heart is there and I'm in great pain. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Bedouins have captured you. And this is halal for them, of course. And so, what guarantee do you give me that you will return? What guarantee do you give me that you will return? And what did the deer say to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ya Rasulullah, can I stand in front of you and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah with this sin of disobeying you? Can I stand in front of Allah and His Rasul on the day of Qiyamah with this sin to disobey you? Ya Rasulullah, if I give you a promise, it is a promise that I give to my Nabi. It is a promise that I give to my Nabi and I will return you. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And he asked the Bedouins, to whom does this belong? And one of them stood up. And Allah's Nabi said, give permission, release this animal so that it can go and feed its young buck and it will come back. Bedouins were Bedouins and they said, Ya Rasulullah, what assurance do you give us? They were Bedouins. What assurance do you give us that this animal will return back? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the promise of your Nabi. This is the promise of your Nabi. Scholars have mentioned that when this animal was released, Allahu Akbar, it actually kicked its back feet in joy and in happiness. And it smiled. It gave a big smile to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it ran towards the mountains. It ran to the mountains and within 1 hour that animal came back to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put its head down to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, as I promised, I have returned, Ya Rasulullah. I have fulfilled my promise. Do whatever you need to do with me. And this man who was a Bedouin standing with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so moved by this mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, Ya Rasulullah, this animal obeys you and for that, for the pleasure of Allah, I release this animal. Allah. Imagine my respected brothers and elders, the honor that is given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us all the tawfiq. I wanted to complete this ayat-i kareema, verse number 13 of Surah Sabah, and then verse 14 speaks of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam and his completion to this beautiful building, Masjid Al-Aqsa, inshallah, if Allah wills, we will continue with that in the next session. Wa'afiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi wa ahli baytihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.